Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLachlan. Jay McLachlan is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLachlan and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLachlan stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLachlan's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLachlan's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern. And the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLachlan. And so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLachlan is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20. Capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital Z Zibby 20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white open long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLachlan. Thanks so much.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, the creator and host of the award-winning podcast that you're listening to right now, thank you so much, called Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. It is a daily podcast, 365 days a year, and each day we talk to an author about all of the things related to their career, their book, their life, and more in 30 minutes or less, because who has time? I am now an author myself, although I wasn't when I started this podcast, and you can get my new memoir, Bookends, a memoir of love, loss, and literature, wherever books are sold starting July 1st, and my children's book, Princess Charming. You can learn more about me at ZibbyOwens.com, but really, you're here to learn more about the authors, and that is what we're going to do. Also, be sure to check out all the other podcasts in the Zcast Podcast Network. You can learn more at ZcastNetwork.com, and definitely check out those shows as well. Also, just a quick note that submissions for the Zibby Awards are open and will close on September 15th. Go to ZibbyOwens.com and you will find the Zibby Awards open submissions where we celebrate all the under-celebrated parts of a book, like the best spine, the best author's note, the best table of contents. And authors can nominate their own best publicists, best editors, and so on. There will be an in-person award ceremony in October in New York. You will not want to miss it. Go to ZibbyOwens.com. Fran Hauser is the author of Embrace the Work, Love Your Career, a guided workbook for realizing your career goals with clarity, intention, and confidence. Fran is passionate about leveling the playing field for women. She does this through her investing, writing, and speaking. Fran has invested in over 30 female-founded companies across consumer tech, CPG, media, and publishing, and wellness. She is the best-selling author of The Myth of the Nice Girl, Achieving a Career You Love Without Becoming a Person You Hate, which has been translated into 6 languages and was named Best Business Book of the Year 2018 by Audible. Fran's new book, Embrace the Work, Love Your Career, is quickly becoming the go-to for women seeking more joy and fulfillment in their career. Fran regularly speaks at conferences and organizations to help women build careers they love while staying true to themselves. Much of her current work is informed by 15 years spent in media, where she rose through the ranks at Time Inc. to become president of digital. She lives outside of New York City with her husband and two sons, and I got to know Fran through the Copper Books Lunch. She and I are both investors in Copper Books, which was founded by Ali Trowbridge. Welcome, Fran. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss Embrace the Work, Love Your Career, a guided workbook for realizing your career goals with clarity, intention, and confidence.
Hi, Zibby. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here. I should have worked on my to-don't list all last night because I love that concept. And I was like, oh, she's so right. I should go through my calendar and figure out what I could cancel and just say that I shouldn't do. But it's so hard to do that. So I don't know, that particular concept really resonated with me because I have trouble saying no. Why don't you tell listeners a little bit about the workbook and how it came to be? I know you tell the story in the book, but tell all of us and then come back to the to-don't list and help all of us busy people figure out what not to do.
I know. That's one of my favorite parts too. I have to be honest, the setting boundaries and saying no. And so the inspiration for the book really came to me during the pandemic. You know, it was the middle of the pandemic and I was reading all of these articles about how many millions of women were leaving the workforce and how many millions more were just questioning their career path and their purpose. And, you know, I think we've all been kind of going through a little bit of an existential crisis, right? We're questioning the meaning of everything in our lives. And I, you know, realized that I was sitting on all of this content just from all of the mentoring that I've done and all of the talks that I've done. And, you know, I have all these exercises and tools and questions and writing prompts. And I thought, you know, it'd be really great to just kind of put that all into a book and make it more of a guided workbook, you know, as opposed to a 60,000 word narrative, you know, prescriptive book. So there's my, you know, my stories are in here, my failures are in here. So it's very relatable, but there's also like all of the strategies and the techniques, and it's really interactive. It was important for me to make it interactive. I really wanted readers to feel like they're the authors of their careers, you know, and by going through this book, they're really crafting, whether it's reconnecting with their work or whether it's coming up with a whole new path, you know, whatever's right for them. So that was really the inspiration for the book. And we actually got it done in a year, which is amazing. You know, from the time that I came up with the idea, I guess it was last February. Wow. It came out this March, which is incredible.
That is
so
incredible.
Just right, you know, this is your world. Like it's so it makes me so happy. I just wanted to get it out into the world because I really feel like it's women need this book. You know, it's the perfect time for it. So coming back to the to-don't list and saying no. There's a whole section in the book, as you know, on setting boundaries and really creating the time and space so that you can focus on the things that matter, so that you can focus on your goals when it comes to your career, when it comes to your life, right? When it comes to your world. And I know, like as women, we just have, we have so much on our plates. And I have always been a people pleaser and it's always been really hard for me to say no. Like my knee-jerk reaction is always to say yes. And I've had to learn over the years, you know, especially when I got back to work after my first maternity leave, when I went back to Time Inc., you know, I was the president of digital. I had a really big job and I was feeling really vulnerable. You know, I was feeling like I had to say yes to everything to show that I could still do it all. Even though I had this baby, you know, that I had this baby at home and it wasn't working. It really wasn't working. And I actually got an executive coach and we spent a lot of time just kind of working through like, okay, so what are the things that I really care about? And what are the priorities that I should be setting that are going to really help me move the needle at work and in my career? Mm-hmm. And being really clear about what those things are, like what are those things that are going to move the needle? And then really clearing my plate. And that's where the to-don't list came up. This was 12 years ago now. But the idea of like really looking at like, what are the things that are just not important right now? Mm-hmm. And it's just no for now. Like, I could always come back to it. It's not no for forever. In a few months, it might make sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, like while I was writing this book, Zivi, one of the big things that went on my to-don't list was taking pitch meetings with entrepreneurs, because that's my day job. I invest in startups. And, you know, entrepreneurs will reach out to me. They have an idea for a business. They have a pitch deck. They want to get my feedback. And I love doing that. And that's my job. But basically what I said was, look, you know, I'm heads down writing this book. So for the next 6 weeks, I'm not going to be taking any pitch meetings. And you know what's so nice about that? It's not a personal no. You know, it's like, I've made this decision. It's not about you. It's I've made this decision that I'm not going to be taking pitch meetings for the next 6 weeks. So, you know, just being really clear about what goes on your to-don't list. And then also not being afraid when you get that inbox request asking you to do something. Yep. Like I literally have to check in with myself, because if I'm about to say yes, I have to ask myself, like, are you saying yes because you feel badly saying no? Mm-hmm. Or are you saying yes because this is something that's really aligned with your priorities, or it's something that's going to bring you joy? Right. You know, so it's just really checking in with yourself and being intentional before you say yes.
And you also give us nice ways to say no as well, which I also, I mean, it seems obvious, but it's really not for people who tend to want to say yes to everything. So I loved how one thing you said was just saying like, thank you. Oh, wait here. How you can't attend the event. You have a little chart, like, I can't do that, but I can do this, you know, where you give, I love that. Yes. I can't attend the event, but I'd be happy to promote it on social media. I love that. Was great. I can't participate on the committee, but I can introduce you to someone who might be able to. That was also great. I can't take the lead on running a project or event, but I can help brainstorm some ideas. I can't attend the entire meeting, but I can cope for the end. I mean, these are really good. And then how to say no kindly, which I also love this page. Thank you. My plate is full. Say no or offer a lower lift way to assist. Best wishes.
Two lines. You know how sometimes, like when you're saying no, sometimes we feel like we have to write 3 or 4 paragraphs, like justifying why we're saying no. Yeah. And it's really just keep it short and sweet. And I always start by saying, thank you, not I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right. Because our default is, I'm so sorry I can't make it, or I'm so sorry I can't participate, versus thank you for thinking of me. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the invitation.
Yep.
You know, and then I'm heads down working on whatever, so I won't be able to participate, but I'm rooting for you. I wish you the best. Yep. Short and sweet. And you know what else too? Like most people appreciate a fast no.
Yes.
As opposed to being strung along.
True.
Very Don't true. You? Like yes. If you reach out, I do.
Yes.
I would rather know, okay, you know what? This is not aligned with this person's priorities right now. So let me just move on.
Yep. And by the way, this isn't just for work. This is also like, to the countless people who are recruited to be, you know, PA chairman or class mom or all these things. Like I keep talking to people who are like, well, I got myself into this because they asked and I couldn't say no. I'm like, but maybe could you have? I mean, maybe you couldn't have, or they just felt too bad, or the guilt of the kids.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know. I just feel like there's so many areas. It's not just professional.
I agree. I mean, look, I go there too. I do so much volunteer work, you know, at the schools, and I've definitely done less over the years. You know, like I remember when my oldest was in kindergarten, you know, I was so eager and I, you know, just really wanted to become more entrenched, you know, in the community. So, but over the years, I've definitely done less and less. And I've also just been really strategic about like, where does it make sense for me to spend my time? Like, for example, like I actually loved volunteering for the school store because it actually got me into the school, mm-hmm. and I was able to see my kids, or the book fair, because yep. I love books.
I did that too. I volunteered at the book fair.
And then you're in the school. So I started doing less of the fundraising mm-hmm. stuff, which was more kind of like on my own time, not at school. It was more about the committee work and doing less of that and doing more of the things that got me into the school. And that really weren't as heavy of a lift.
Yep.
Right. So just thinking through, like I'm always thinking about like, how can I turn something that would be like 10 hours of my time to 15 minutes of my time, you know? Like, yeah. So sometimes it is an introduction. Sometimes I have to say no to a speaking event, but I have so many people in my world who are looking for speaking opportunities. And it makes me feel so good to be able to offer those opportunities to others.
Yep.
Right. So I love that. I feel like it's a win-win.
So this is if you have too much to do, which, sorry, I honed in on because that is the moment in my life right now. But there have been other moments in my life where I have not had enough to do or wasn't sure which path to take. And I think another whole group of people are currently in that or have been coming off of being at home with the kids or their kids just went to college and they're like, now what? Right. There's so many moments. And I do feel like you said originally, there's this sort of groundswell, right? It's like, you know, when like a subway's coming, or not that I've been on subway in a while, but like, you know, like if you feel the reverberations of the train before it's right there. I feel like that's the moment that we're in. There's like this whole, like women, so many women are just like in that moment where like there's about to be this explosion of talent, like back on the scene in all these ways because, well, I don't know. That's how I feel about it. Do you feel that same energy?
I do. And I have a lot of women that are reaching out to me and they're really nervous and they're worried and they're not quite sure what to do. And, you know, I always say to them, I think one of the best things to do when you're in that moment of like of uncertainty and transition, or maybe you're feeling stuck, is reach out to people, you know, grab a coffee, do a phone call, a Zoom, whatever. Let people know where you are and what you're thinking, that you're thinking about your next chapter. Because I find that when you're talking to people, like, especially if you're curious, you know, you learn a lot. You learn about some opportunities that might be out there that you never would have even thought of. And now you're also on their radar. You're in their head, right? So like, if I hear about an opportunity, I'll remember that, oh, my friend Trish, this could be like a great fit for her. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important to really get out there and talk to people, to not like sit in your home and just worry and like, you know, kind of let it fester, but really like state what your intentions are. And if you're not exactly sure what they are, just let people into your world and just put it out there. You know, you got to like put it out into the universe.
Yeah,
I think that's probably one of the most important things that you can do.
And this workbook too is super helpful. I mean, in helping people even figure out what they want to do, what they're good at, what they feel good about. Yeah, I love this minimum viable product, by the way, going back to $2. But
yeah, so that's really like, because, you know, some of us, myself included, get into this like place of feeling like everything we do, like it needs to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And that was another kind of big awakening for me after coming back from maternity leave, was I realized that I was spending so much time like making even like internal reports look perfect.
Yeah.
And it really didn't, it just really didn't matter at the end of the day. It was really more about the content, mm-hmm, versus the form that the content was in. Or even like if I had a new business idea, I remember like I would put together a whole like PowerPoint to just go talk to my boss about it.
Yeah.
And I just stopped doing that. I would just go in and just say, hey, I'm thinking about this. Here's why I think it's a good idea. What do you think? Yeah. And if she liked the idea, then I would pull the team together and we would do more work. But, mm-hmm, you know, I so like the minimum viable product is a really important concept, again, at work and in life. Yep. in general.
It's true. No, it's true.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As kids get older, some things about parenting can get easier. I mean, not many, but some. But others don't, like having conversations about money. Point is, kids won't really know how to manage their money unless they're actually in charge of it. And that is where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids can learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun and accessible way. I got Greenlight debit cards for my kids. The greatest thing, you can actually add their photos that take up half the card. So when I handed the cards to the kids, they were like, this is so exciting. So they look great. Unfortunately, I only put the required 2 cents on at the beginning to make sure they worked. So the kids were like, well, what should I spend my 2 cents on? Anyway, millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/Zibby. That's greenlight.com/Zibby to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/Zibby.
And then another, I know I'm jumping all over because you have so many great things in the book, but also management. And this is great communication, not just at work, but this is like for marriage or friends or whatever. Some of these questions where you're in a disagreement and you're like, can you tell me more? I want to make sure I'm understanding your perspective. That's really good. When you're at a crossroads and need to make a decision, have you been in a situation like this before? How did you approach making your decision? And when you're looking for feedback, what else should I be considering? When you're asking about an experience the person had in the past, what were your biggest insights from going through that experience? This is great. I'm like interviewing a bunch of people anyway. So these are also great questions just to ask.
Well, you know what it is too? I feel like when you leave, like when you have open-ended questions, you'll get so much more.
It's true.
And even like with the founders that, you know, that I've invested in, I always encourage them to not ask like, what would you do if you were me? Mm-hmm. But to really ask more about like, have you been in a situation like this before? Like, how did you approach it? Like, what did you learn from it? You know? And I think it's important, you know, to keep those questions more open-ended. You'll just learn more. You'll get more insights. Yeah. And the whole thing about when you're disagreeing with someone, I just believe that it's so important to be respectful, you know? And even like as a leader, I've always tried to create a psychologically safe space for people. Mm-hmm. Right. And I would always say this to my team, like, look, it's great to disagree. Right. And let's get into a healthy debate about it because some of the best insights come out of that. But when we disagree, we do it respectfully. Mm-hmm. Right. And we always listen. We listen to understand, right. We listen with the intent to understand. And it's great to ask follow-up questions. But I just believe, you know, whether we're leaders in business or whether we're teachers, right? Like it's all about like creating that environment where people are comfortable speaking up, you know, where they're comfortable sharing their opinions and their points of view, where they feel like they're not going to be disrespected.
Yeah.
So I really believe that's so important for work, for school, for just our society, for culture.
Yeah.
In general.
Wait, so Fran, I know about your amazing career and, you know, how you basically created people.com, People Magazine for Time Inc. and all these just amazing things that you've done. When you're investing now in women-owned businesses, and I know we've both invested in Copperbooks, which is exciting, and I'm
so exciting.
You know, really so hopeful for everything that Allie is doing and that whole social network for authors. When you are investing in a women-owned business, and you are meeting the founders, what are the things you look for in a successful proposal or even in a woman you want to invest in? Like, what are the types of things that you feel like are hallmarks of success or that interest you the most?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, I really think it comes down to a few things. It comes down to the founder, the market, and the product.
Okay.
And each one of those are really important, right? Like the founder, I really want to feel like they're personally invested in this, that it's something that they're really passionate about, whatever the pain point is that they're solving or the opportunity that they're capitalizing on. Like, I really want to feel like they're the right person. You know, they're the right person to approach this. I also really pay attention to how do I feel when I leave a meeting with the founder? Mm-hmm. Do I feel like I want to spend more time with them? do I feel energized? Because, you know, when you invest in these startups, it takes 7 to 10 years for them to exit, if they exit, right? If there's a liquidation event where they IPO or they get acquired, that's how we make money as investors. So it's a long-term relationship with the founder. So I really want to feel like our values are aligned. Like this is somebody who I want to be spending time with in helping them to grow their business. And obviously there needs to be a market. I really, you know, I need to feel like, okay, there's a clear pain point here. They're solving something big. And the product, you know, look, it goes back to MVP, minimum viable product. I know that the product might change.
Yeah.
It actually often does change, right? Like you come out with an MVP and then you get feedback and you pivot. And so I want to feel like the founder is going to be okay with that. You know, that they're going to be adaptable and that they're not going to get like, they're not going to dig their heels in, because that's what happens sometimes. Like, you know, you have this idea and you're so entrenched in it, but you have to be willing to be flexible and to be able to adapt if you hear something different from your customer. So I really pay attention to all that. Look, I do a lot of back channeling. You know, I look at LinkedIn. I looked at, you know, do we have mutual connections? Because it's not just about the resume and what they've accomplished. I want to know how. I want to know how they work. I want to understand their character, their integrity, their values. So all of that is really important.
What are some companies? I know you invested in MoviePhone, right? Didn't you?
Oh my God. So I have to tell you, Zibby, do you remember MoviePhone?
Of course I do. That's why I brought it up. Wasn't it 777 Film?
Yes. Yeah. So this was in the late 90s.
The things I remember. It's like why that useful piece of information stayed in there.
But it's so funny because when I'm talking to Gen Z or college students, they have no idea what I'm talking about when I bring up MoviePhone. But so I didn't invest in it, but I was actually their SVP of finance. So I left Coca-Cola. I left like one of the world's most admired companies when I was 27 to go work for 777 Film when they were just about to launch like moviephone.com and they were going to put showtimes and ticketing online. And I just remember being so interested in it because, first of all, I'm a huge movie buff. You know, I love the movies, but the internet was just getting started.
Yep.
So I really wanted to be a part of that. I mean, that was Web 1.0, you know, and it was so amazing working there because, you know, after working at Coca-Cola, when you work for a big company, it's very like, I was so focused on finance. I was in financial reporting and that. So then I went to MoviePhone, and one of the biggest reasons I went was because it was an early stage, you know, company. And I really wanted to be able to roll up my sleeves and learn other parts of the business because eventually I wanted to be a general manager. I wanted to like run the whole business. So that's what I got to do at MoviePhone. I got exposure to everything. It was so amazing. We ended up selling the company to AOL, right? Like .com bubble.
Yeah.
So, and then the founders retired. They were like in their early 30s. They retired. And I ended up taking over, like I ran MoviePhone as a division of AOL. So that was my first general management job.
Oh my gosh.
So it was really the beginning of my media career. And then from there, I went to Time Inc. and I was there for 10 years.
Oh,
so wow. I know that was like, honestly, I remember the CFO at the Coca-Cola company, like the CFO in Atlanta, calling me when he heard that I was leaving. He thought I was absolutely crazy. He had never heard of MoviePhone. It's like, what are you doing? Where are you going? Like, you could be the CFO of the Coca-Cola company if you stay here. And it was one of those things that I think it took so much courage. It really did to make that move. But I'm so glad I did because it changed the trajectory of my career in a big way.
Wow. And then you ran, it's just amazing. So by the time you launched people.com, you were in charge of that whole thing.
People.com was one of the funnest parts of my career because, you know, it was me and my assistant, and there were a few people on the editorial side. And basically we had to convince the company and because People Magazine was like the most profitable business at Time Inc. by far, the world's largest magazine. So we basically had to convince everybody that we could also create a business out of people.com, that it wasn't just about pushing print subscriptions, which mm-hmm. is what the website was doing at that time. Yeah. And we ended up building this really big, it ended up being the world's largest media website. It was bigger than the NewYorkTimes.com. Oh, it was bigger than CNN. I mean, we were doing 1 billion monthly page views.
Oh, you know, my gosh.
Like 40 million monthly unique visitors. And it ended up being one of the top 10 most profitable businesses at the company out of like 200 businesses. So for me, it was a really big deal because it was a big win,
yeah.
you know, and after that, they gave me InStyle and Entertainment Weekly and Essence and People in Espanol and Real Simple. And like, you know, so like my job got so much bigger, but I have to tell you, Zibby, I'll never forget this moment where I was having lunch with our CEO, with Anne Moore.
Yeah.
And I was telling her, like, my job got so much bigger, but it actually got less interesting and less fun because it felt so much more administrative. You know, I felt like I was like spending so much more time on like budgets and cost containment and like creating presentations for the board. I really missed being close to the consumer mm-hmm. and close to the brand, you know, and that was such a big learning for me, you know, just sort of like be careful what you wish for.
Yep.
And that's why I encourage everyone, you know, you might love being an individual contributor. Maybe, you know, maybe that's your thing. Like not everybody wants to be a leader or a manager or like that could be a great path for you, yep. you know, and sometimes we need to take a couple of steps back before we take a step forward. And, you know, it's, your career, like it's not this like ladder right. anymore. You know, my friend Patty Sellers always says it could be more of a jungle gym. You might go sideways, you might go backwards, right?
Yeah.
But whatever works for you. And that's why I think it's really important to tune into like, what are the parts of your current job that you really love? And is there a way that you can do more of that? You know, is there a way that you can lean into that more?
Interesting. By the way, and maybe we should schedule another time maybe to talk about this, but I'm launching this new content site, Moms Don't Have Time To, with original essays and all these different categories. And I read in your acknowledgments that you worked with Kathleen Harris and I hired her to run the whole thing.
Are you kidding me?
No.
She's one of my favorite people in the world.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She was the editor at RealSimple.com
yeah.
when I was at Time Inc. So we worked together. And she's been working with me on my personal platform, on my newsletter, everything. She worked with me on Embrace the Work, Love Your Career. She's been working with me for the last 5 years. Oh my gosh, Zibby.
Yeah, I know. I love her. She's freelancing with us for now to get the launch up and then finishing whatever else she has to do. And she's coming on full time in the end of July.
I could not be happier. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for you.
So anyway,
and I'm so excited to help you. I'm so excited to help you.
I would love your advice. You're like such a guru in this whole space.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Amazing. I'm so excited for you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Okay. Well, more soon. We have so much more to talk about, but thank you for this book, which is so useful. I have like 3 people literally in mind who I'm going to give it to right away who are in this transition moment and will find it incredibly useful. But thank you for coming on the podcast.
And Libby, thank you. You're the best. Thank you for all that you do.
Oh, you too.
Take care.
Okay. Bye, friend.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.